Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Phil Tsang of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Back with Phil in just a moment. When you're raising cattle, you're producing beef, and consumers expect that beef to be sustainably produced. Sustainable beef production is the focus of the 2017 Texoma Cattlemen's Conference, February 24th in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Keynoter will be John Butler, current president of the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. Other leading players in the beef business will discuss how we raise beef the right way, and cattle market analyst Daryl Peel will offer a market outlook. To register, go to noble.org/agevents or call 580-224-6376.
In the market for a bull? Well, then make plans to attend Blackjack Farms Bull Sale Saturday, March 4th, featuring guests Pfeiffer Angus Farms and McFerrin Farms. Come bid on 85 Angus and Sim Angus bulls, ages ranging from 18 months to spring yearlings, all semen tested and fully guaranteed. Sale books mailed on request and online at www.mcsauction.com. The sale starts at noon on the ranch near Seminole, Oklahoma. For more information, call sale manager Matt Sims at 405-641-6081.
The final numbers for calendar year 2016 for our beef exports now in, and they were really good. Phil Tsang is president of the U.S. Meat Export Federation.
Well, I'd say that's true. It looks like this year we're going to finish exports this year over 10% as far as our export performance. That's a significant growth compared to where we've been. Obviously, the factory is putting out more product, and this is helping dramatically. But we've made some great access inroads as far as Korea. We're up about 38% as far as our beef this year in Korea, which means we've supplanted Australia in being the number one supplier. We're up dramatically in Japan. We're doing very well in that market. We're up in Taiwan. We're up in Mexico. We're up in Canada.
You know, you start breaking down some of these markets. I know that Japan has been a market that we've worked for decades. And it seems like, you know, everybody kind of at some point says, well, there's not much more potential there. But it seems like they always get fooled. There's always a little bit more.
Well, I think the one thing is just because the market is developed doesn't mean it doesn't continue developing. And what we're seeing in Japan is, for example, the people in the 50 to 60 range, as far as the decades are concerned, and the 60s to the 70s, those are two of the fastest growing groups for meat consumption. You have a Japanese government that's basically endorse higher protein consumption in the diet, especially beef consumption in the diet. It's one of the key foods for people that are getting older, what they call the great generation. And so we're seeing all kinds of dynamics in Japan. And I think that the changing nature of food consumption, especially of meat consumption, is allowing for more of it to come in. There's more value added going into the market, more branded going into the market. So as we look at that market, it's still developing, and there's a lot of potential in the Japanese market. Not to say there isn't potential in other markets. Korea is the same. You have a tremendous amount of consumption going on in Korea. We're even surprised by how well we're doing in Korea. And of course, when we look at North Asia, you know, the Chinese market is still closed to us, but it presents tremendous potential. It's been the fastest growing market the last 2 or 3 years. Last year alone, it just doubled over what it did the year before. So we're excited about what the market's bringing, what the international market foretells for the U.S. beef industry.
Looking out there as far as for 2017 and for the next 2 or 3 years, what are really the things, both the opportunities and the roadblocks that you see out there in trying to sell beef into the global market?
Well, I think right now is we need to have calmer minds prevail. There's a lot of rhetoric, as we know, that's circulating in the news. There's a lot of concern about what is true and what is not. But I think one thing that every producer should know, that protectionism is the enemy of the producer. And anything that we can do to roll back protectionism, anything that we can do to have access to these markets, continue that access, it's important. Of a total world's GDP, 55% of it comes from trade. So the fact that that anything that would create barriers, anything that would impede product flow, this has to be stopped. And the United States has been a leader for years. We've had a leadership position in this regard for years. We have to sustain and maintain that position because we're the ones that benefit the most. The United States, frankly, has one of the most open markets in the world. Our average duty rates on all products is less than 2%. So there's not the biggest interest in the world by a lot of these other countries to negotiate with us because they already have access. So it's going to be hard for us to say to some of these countries, hey, we want to negotiate a deal and get a better deal because they already got a great deal. So I'm concerned in this whole process what the pause is going to look like, because to give something up in order to get something better, We want to make sure that we know what it is that we're doing, because it's very important right now. Agriculture is is basically a $140 billion industry as far as our exports go. If you take a look what that means across the whole economy, that's almost $500 billion. That's what agriculture brings to the agricultural trade brings to the U.S. economy. It's enormous, and any jiggering with this could really hurt us. So protectionism, that's something that we all have an interest in fighting.
Phil Tsang of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. And that's your Beef Buzz. Have yourself a great day, everybody. I'm Ron Hayes, Radio Oklahoma Network and OklahomaFarmReport.com.